the faraway towns. Now war is declared and battle come down. London calling to the underworld. Come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania has bitten the dust. London calling, see we ain't got no swing except for the ring of the truncheon thing. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Meltdown expected, the wheat is going in. Engines stop running, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river to the imitation zone. Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of death. Quit holding out and draw another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice age is coming, the sun's zooming in. Engines stop running, the wheat is going thick. A nuclear error, but I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning. I live by the river. It was true. London calling at the top of the dial. And after all this, won't you give me a smile? London calling. I never felt so much alike, alike.
Johnny says he's bound by only six strings to this. Johnny says he keeps him always one turn at a tune. Johnny never listens to the kids that say. We'll be right back.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey. And welcome to the Civil Disobedience Project. I'm Adam.
Ariel.
And we're with you on this fine Monday. We've got the full squad back today because I've been in absence on tour in the South, which will provide many colorful anecdotes for the rest of the show because I learned a lot in the South.
For like a month.
Yeah, for like, it's been a long time. But Ariel took over, and I'm sure she did a wonderful job. I didn't hear any shows because I didn't have internet access for a long time.
It was pretty funny.
So, we're going out on Critical Mass Radio right now, too. So that means that all the folks tuned into the Critical Mass, which is a really cool program, are also listening to us today. So we got a lot of listeners by Kill Radio standards. And this is the Civil Disobedience Project, and you are listening to LA's Kill Radio. We're on Instant Messenger now if you'd like to hit us on AIM. We are Kill Radio Station. You can call station at 213-252-0998 to yell at us, express solidarity, or do a lot of things. And I just thought of something else I'm going to talk about on the show today. I'm raging against a lot of things today. Well, I woke up this morning and I was like,
pissed off.
I'm angry. And why am I angry? I'm angry at a lot of things, and I'm going to talk about them. And I don't, there's nothing I can do about most of them, but we're going to have a good time with them. So, I know Ariel's got some stuff on her agenda, but here's some of the things that I want to talk about. I brought in this book called Into the Buzzsaw. I read three books whenever I was on tour, and I want to talk about two of them and not the third. Just because, I don't know, I just didn't feel like talking about the third. The third was good, there's nothing wrong with it, but I don't want to talk about it. This one I'm showing Ariel, it's called Into the Buzzsaw. It's the leading journalists expose the myth of free press. It's a Prometheus book, which all good books are published. There's the phone ringing already. Ariel's going to answer it. And Prometheus Books is one of the good publishers out there right now. And
he had the wrong number.
Somebody had the wrong number. That's great. I was like, wow, man, somebody's calling already, and we just started talking. He's just like, no, we don't know who you are. But Prometheus Books is one of the top, like, five publishers of good books that I think, along with, like, Monthly Review and Seven Stories and all the other delightful left-wing publishers that are out there doing their thing in a hostile environment. And it's one of those, and I have the thing here. It was actually a gift from Frances. We love you. She's in New York, and she sent us this book, and Frances runs Golden Lit Agency. You should always buy books and from authors that Frances represents because she's awesome. She's been an activist since before I was even thought of being conceived. Let's put it this way. I think Frances is 70 years old at least. She's awesome. Yeah, so she's usually not too far out of NYC, where we'd bring her on the show, and she would put all of you in your place, because she can do that. So we're going to talk about that. I also read, I'm a little late on this one. Everybody else read it like 4 years ago or something, but not me, because I usually don't read bestsellers, because they usually make me mad, because they're usually like celebrity-induced, like propaganda pieces from ghostwriters. You know,
they're commercial.
Yeah, it's like reading something like that Jenny McCarthy wrote, like, it's like, why would I be interested
in... She wrote a
book? Yeah, she wrote a book on motherhood. And it's like, yeah, let me think. If I were a mom, and for those of you who don't know Jenny McCarthy, she's a Playboy playmate and resident imbecile that is very obnoxious and should just stay in pictures and never open her mouth. That's who Jenny McCarthy
is.
Nasty. Oh, and she talks, and she's like, you must stop talking because you're driving me crazy. And she wrote a book anyway on like parenthood and like being a mother.
Yeah, if I was a mother, like,
yeah,
I would
reach
be
for that.
A Jenny
be
McCarthy
like,
mother.
I'm thinking to myself, yes, there's all these intelligent people with degrees and people with all these background. No, I'm going to get the Jenny McCarthy one. And it shows us what kind of a celebrity-induced climate we live in. So in response to little things like that, I try to tend to stay. But the book I read was The Da Vinci Code.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got lots of things to say. We're going to talk about it later. I like this book. And I think it's cool, and I enjoy many portions of it, but it is fiction. For all the Christian right that has their head up in a, that got their hair in a tizzy, and they're running around like going nuts right now for all the accusations and things that it made, it's a fiction book. It's okay. It's not going to topple the church anytime in the near future, but there's some cool things I want to point out. Among them are the name for my black metal band. When I started a black metal band, I found the name for it. So I've already copywritten this, so nobody steal it from me. And I also want to talk about something else I'm raging against. It's a style that I got from Amp Magazine. I like Amp Magazine. It's not a rip on them. But there's something I see inside, and I'm going to rage against that later. And then we're going to tell you where you can find Ariel and I this weekend, because everybody's always looking for us. Because they want to know, where are you guys? And we're going to tell you where we're going to be so you can find us. And we're going to get to all that. But first, I'm going to play my favorite Discord song. No, I'm not, because that's not the next one on the list at all. I'm going to play my favorite rap song. What do you think it is, Ariel? Can
it's,
you say it?
I'm guessing that it's going to be Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
She knows.
Wild guess.
It's a wild guess. I was stuck in rural hell, and I only had one CD. And the one CD I had was my friend borrowed, Kenny. Kenny was in here last week. Shit, that was like a month ago, when the last show I did. And Kenny had borrowed my CD like 3 years ago. His house burnt down. All these things happened. And he comes back when I visit him, and he hands me the CD that's like covered in soot and everything from his house. And he's like, here, man, here's your Public Enemy CD. And I'm like, okay, I forgot about it. You know, like 3 years is a grace period that you forget
you
about
like
stuff.
I bought a new one.
Yeah, and it was like Fear of a Black Planet. And I played it the whole time I was there. It was the only CD I had because I couldn't get any radio stations. I just played it over and over again. And if you only have one CD to play, it's not a bad one. So I'm going to play a song off that. Then we're going to play some Discord Minor Threat stuff and kick some Salad Days. And then into Crass. And then we'll be back with you with some wonderful insights into this world around you. This is Adam and Ariel. You're listening to Kill Radio. And we're also on Critical Mass Radio, so fist in the air to those people riding their bikes in the heat.
I have the book.
Which one?
Critical Mass book. It's I don't know which one it is, but
you should have brought it in.
I should have brought it
That'd
in.
That would have been awesome. We're going to talk about that another time.
Anyway.
All right. Here it is. Fight the Power by Public Enemy.
Yet our best trained, best educated, best equipped, best prepared troops refuse to fight. Matter of fact, it's safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.
Funky drummer, music hitting your heart, cause I know you got soul.
Hey,
listen if you're missing y'all, swinging while I'm singing.
Hey,
giving what you're getting, knowing what I'm knowing, while the black band's sweating in the rhythm I'm rolling. Gotta give us what we want, gotta give us what we need.
Hey,
our freedom of speech is freedom of death. We got to fight the powers that be. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power. Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We got to fight the powers that be.
As the rhythm's designed to bounce with calcium, that's the
rhyme.
Designed to fill your mind now that you realize the prize arrives.
We got to pump the stuff to make it tough.
From the heart, it's a start, a work of art to revolutionize. Make a change, something strange.
People.
We are the same. No, we're not the same, because we don't know the game. What we need is awareness. We can't get careless.
You say, what is this?
Yeah. My beloved, let's get down to business. Mental self-defense or fitness.
Don't rush the show. You got to go for what you know.
To make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be.
Fight the power. 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 Fight the power.
We got to fight the powers that be.
Straight out racist, the sucker was simple and plain.
Motherfucking men, John Wayne.
Cause I'm black
and I'm proud. I'm ready, I'm hyped, plus I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear in no stamp. Sample, look back, you looking fine. Nothing but rednecks for 400 years if you check.
Don't worry, be happy.
Was a number one jam. Damn, if I said you could slap me right here. Get it.
Let's get this party started right.
Right on.
Come on.
What we got to say.
Yeah.
Power to the people, no delay. Make everybody see. In order to fight the powers that be. Fight the power.
Check this out, man.
Okay, talk to me about the future of Public Enemy.
Future of Public Enemy got a...
Are you gonna be the big man, the Tommy gun?
free to talk of freedom when a blood begins to run. Freedom has no value if violence is the price. No, I want your revolution, I want anarchy and peace. You talk about buying power, you finance as your tool. You speak of liberation, and when the people rule. Well, only people rule right now with limits for their feet. Just another set of minutes, their rifles are to me. But what about those people who don't want your new restrictions? Those who disagree with you and have their own convictions. You say they've got it wrong because they don't agree with you. So when the revolution comes, you have to run through. You say that revolution means freedom for us all. Well, freedom just ain't freedom when your back's against the wall. You talk about fame, power, with violence, that's your tool. You speak of liberation, and when the people rule. Well, only people rule right now with them for their fate. Just another set of prayers, they're up for such a mate. Will you indoctrinate the masses to serve your new regime? And simply do away with those whose views are too extreme. Transportation details can be left to British Rail. Where cyclone B succeeded, Norsi gas will fail. It's just the same old story of man destroying man. We've got to look for other answers to the problems of this land. You talk about fire power, with violence as your tool. You speak of liberation, and when the people rule. Well, I need people rule right now with them for their faith. Just another set of fears, they're up for such a day.
It's just the same fascistic games, but the rules aren't clearly stated. everything's really different, cause all government's the same. They can call it freedom, but slavery is the game. There's nothing that you offer but a dream of last year's hero. The truth of revolution, brother.
Brother, 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 brother.
Hey, hey, welcome back. And we're going to be playing something interesting when I come back.
Is it going to be that CD?
No, not yet. Not the CD yet. But we're going to talk about them, too. You should, Ariel. We're burning a CD today. And this is, again, you're listening to the Civil Disobedience Project, and this is Adam and
Ariel.
Ariel. And brought to you by Kill Radio, killradio.org. You can hit us up on the Kill Radio station. Instant message calls 213-252-0998. And we were talking about tour, because that's where I was and some of the things that we got into. But I don't know. Should we go political first hour or political second hour?
Let's go political second hour.
Okay, this is going to be political second hour, because Ariel made this call. So that means that we're going to talk about the Into the Buzzsaw and the Da Vinci Code in the second hour. And in the first hour, we're going to discuss Southern culture and some bands I met.
Wait, you read the Da Vinci Code book? You read the whole book when you were on tour?
Yeah, I read that one too.
You were a fast reader.
Yeah, but there's a lot of spare time. When you're on tour, and for those of you who haven't done this
it
before.
It seems like party.
No. There's like, this is a misnomer.
Okay.
You have 2 hours of fun a day, and the rest of it, like, you wait for the next show. And there's nothing to do, like, except get on each other's nerves, because you're, like, living in real close quarters. So I sit in the back and I read. And do dumb things, of course. And I do Adam TV. You got to watch Adam TV. This Adam TV is something. I carried a video camera around with me, and I tell people, you know, you're going to be on TV. And they're like, where? I'm like, oh, you know, somewhere in Los Angeles. You know,
so
and they're like,
down for
oh,
that.
Yeah, they're like, L.A., you're from L.A.
You're
gonna, yeah, they're like, shit, this is like reality TV. And they'll do anything. I have the greatest things. I had this guy from gangsters that swam across the border in McAllen, Texas.
What?
To girls that took the video camera to do God knows what. To guys with bib overhauls and no shirts and one tooth. I have them all on Adam TV interviewing them, getting
so
down.
So you let the girls take the camera?
Yeah.
And they have you watched it?
Yeah.
How what's on there?
Dumb things that girls do when they're intoxicated.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure there's dumb things that guys do when they're intoxicated, too.
Like, slap each other's...
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're all equally dumb, but there's definitely a line. Like, this is girl dumb thing to do when they're intoxicated. These are guy dumb things to do. The girls will, like, take it in the bathroom and stuff. Like,
yeah.
And maybe, like, they'll
and
flash
talk about
the,
how, yeah. like, nice each other's tits are.
Yeah, and, like, maybe flash the camera
maybe
or something.
That's just my
friends. Yeah, same thing. Okay. But I always wondered, like, how Girls Gone Wild works, for example. Like, how do they get girls to do that on a video? And I learned how you do it. You turn the camera on.
Yeah, that's exactly. I would know if I was drunk and there was a camera. Like, we did it on New Year's Eve.
Right.
There was, like, Blind Date was down there. And it was, like, all, like, 15 of us. And we're totally intoxicated with our orange juice bottles. And we're all in front of the camera, like, Blind Date, Blind Date.
Yeah, there
like,
it is. It's...
And we were fucking out of control, just yelling, like, obscenities and, like, peace in the Middle East and shit like that. And then Jeff was like pissed because he's like, you guys are acting stupid. Of course, he was a less drunk.
Right.
And
there's always a voice
in front of
reason.
A camera.
My friend got married from Blind Date.
Oh, he did.
He met his wife on Blind Date and got
That's
married
deep.
To her. And then they had their wedding on Blind Date.
Really?
Yeah. Just so you know. I'm not going to mention his name now, but he lives in San Diego.
That's
I'll bring
deep.
Him to your wedding.
Are
if
they
you
happy?
Want. No. That's another story.
Who's happy? Nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy that's married.
No, fuck off.
All right.
Adam's so, getting married.
No,
I gave
this
him 2 years.
Okay.
Anyways.
Anyway. We're back. I met these guys. Our tour started out in Arizona, and we were on tour, and we met this Paper Street Records was doing a tour. These cool guys from Philadelphia. The label's from Philadelphia. And actually, the bands are from different places. Like this band that I liked. That Never Say Die, NSDWHOA, is from Ohio.
What does that stand for?
I the baby stealing
hurricane. NSD, okay.
WHOA. There's many things. Okay. And, like, they have song titles. These guys are awesome. Like, Death of Mustache Metal. If this is a revolution, we have to offend somebody.
Death of Mustache
And if it wasn't for that bastard David Hasselhoff, the Berlin Wall would still be standing. She's a kung fu kick to the throat. What else do you say? And
I want to hear. You should see the cover of the CD.
It's great.
Like
these guys were great. This is how I met them. These guys are like this. The whole tour was like Dillinger Escape Plan esque metal. Like, you know, are you familiar with Dillinger at all?
Yeah.
You know, it's like crazy, like metal, like kind of hardcore. And we're booked with them. And we don't really sound like anything, but they really liked us. And it was funny, like, I got back home and I read a review of the show that somebody did.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were, the standout bands of the night were these guys and 286.
What, do they do, like, crazy stuff on stage, or?
Yes.
What do they do?
I don't even know how to describe it, like they're breaking things. Uh-oh, we've got a phone call again. Iroh's going to answer the phone and see if it's the wrong number again.
Radio.
But these guys, you know, breaking things.
They hung up
again. People
the
are
FBI.
Hating us. The FBI's got that's great. I'm glad you said FBI, because these guys and I had an FBI conversation. But they loved But anyway, in the review, it's on ArizonaPunk.com. You can check it out. Go to ArizonaPunk.com and read the review. But it says like the two standout bands of the night. They picked like our band 286, and they picked these guys. And these guys were great. Like they just cracked me up. I couldn't hear a word that they said on stage. But then when I read their lyrics, like,
yeah,
they
it makes
were,
sense. Well, that's what happened when I heard your CD and there were your lyrics. And
yeah, because usually I'm just like ranting. And this guy's like, and it's funny the kind of things like screamers and bands talk about, because like this, the singer to the band and I bonded, like, he came over and he talked to me. He's like, how do you keep your screaming voice? This must sound like girls like in a bathroom, like talking about it, but he's like, how do you keep your screaming voice? Because we really don't sing, none of us do. And you know, we're talking about this, and then we get into a conversation about Suburban Noise Records. You know any bands on Suburban Noise? Okay,
no.
They released the Cottonmouth Kings.
Oh, whoa. Cottonmouth Kings?
Great.
That is like a pit of all Alien Empire jokes. Every one of my pothead friends, I call them Cottonmouth Kings.
Right, okay. Okay, I'm going to tell you about the in Corporate Avenger and all these bands. So we immediately started singing Corporate Avenger songs, like by herself, like in a corner. Nobody knew what we were talking about, but we're like singing, you know, I don't fault the police because the people that run them, they got them on a short leash and all these, like, and we're singing like these songs, this guy and I, like, people are in the corner like looking at us. Yeah, like a bunch of drunken sailors, basically. And he's like, you know Suburban Noise. He's like, tell me how you know Suburban Noise. And I told him about my Suburban Noise stories. And as a shout out to Suburban Noise, I'm going to tell you this. These guys are awesome. Because I called them on the phone one time when I was starting a record label to ask them how to do it, and they told me, like, in their defense, that Doug is awesome. He used to play. He plays guitar in the Cottonmouth King now. He also played in. He also was an extra for the Circle Jerks sometimes, and he played in. What the hell's the other name of the band? And it was the other band that the Cottonmouth Kings were before that. God, this is going to kill me.
I saw the Circle Jerks before.
The Humble Gods. Okay, he played an epic. And I called him, and I mean, I was young. I mean, like, I was in... Okay, I'm going to date myself. It was many years ago. I called and I asked him this question, you know?
How old are you, Adam?
What's that?
How old are you?
25. No, that's how I am now. I was, I must have been like...
That was like 2 years ago.
Must have been like 15 or something. No, but I was young, and I called these guys up. And I lived in like this podunk town in southwestern PA. I called their label in Southern California because I saw them on X-Fest when it came to Pittsburgh. And this dude answered all my questions. He's like, dude, he goes, I don't know. He's like, and we start talking politics. He's like, oh, you're a political guy. You probably like Corporate Avenger. He's like, here, you know. Puts me on the guest list for the next Cottonmouth King show. So, like, I go
that
there.
That's fun.
Yeah, and I go to the show, you know, and I hang out with Corporate Avenger, you know. And then the next time they came to Pittsburgh, I called him and he's like, dude, he calls me up. He's like, you want to go to the next one? Yeah, and you know, I'm upstairs with like D-Loke and Johnny Richter. They're smoking weed and doing everything that they were exactly the same in their music. I love those guys, and you know,
you like Cottonmouth Kings?
Well, I just love them because like they're exactly
because they're person.
Yeah, and they helped me. They showed me how to start. I mean, Doug showed me how to start a label. He explained it to me. I mean, how many people in the music business would say, "Yeah, this is how you start a record label, A, B, C, D"?
No, they would hate.
Yeah, and they'd send me press, and they would say, hey, you know, you want to review a press kit, you know, help one of our bands.
Yeah.
So I would review stuff for him. I haven't talked to him since I moved here, but anyway, so this guy and I got in this Suburban Noise, you know, records conversation, and this guy only drinks scotch straight from babe-stealing hurricane. He drinks scotch, and he's like, drink scotch with me, and he's like, this is how I maintain my screaming voice. So at the time, this sounded like a really good plan, so I did. And the scotch is disgusting. I don't care if it's top
scotch
shelf.
Is like horrible.
It's horrible. And I drank it with this guy, and we sang more Corporate Avenger songs. And he was talking to me about rock music and his philosophies and stuff. And he told us, you guys have long hair, obviously.
Yeah.
And he's like, this makes us free. He was explaining to me this.
Uh-huh.
We got real philosophical.
Yeah, yeah.
We broke it down. They're awesome. So check out PaperStreetRecords.com. You can go there. You can go to ArizonaPunk.com and just go to the review section. And there's a review of the show that I was at with this band. And they said something about me in the review, like, I don't know, my obnoxiousness or something.
You drink scotch.
No, they didn't say anything about that. I wish I could sing the Pirate's Life songs.
Pirate's Life for me.
So, yeah, I'm going to be a pirate one day. If the music doesn't work out, I'm going to be a pirate.
I've been thinking about that. Yeah. We should, like, get a little, like, one of those little boats. Those little tiny fishing boats. And we'll be, like, all dressed up, and that'll really be our ship.
Yeah. No, no, I've got the whole plan down. You want to see? I'll pull out my notebook.
Do it?
Yeah. No, I'm already in. I'm already doing it.
You're doing it?
Yeah. I mean, are you into my.
I'll be a mate.
No, I'm a captain.
I can get my own boat and we could battle. And, like, okay. We'll get in a battle and all I'll sink your ship.
I'm in. I was on UCLA radio with 286, and every question they asked me, I would only refer to my new life as a pirate.
Ego.
Yeah, they were just like, what is wrong with these people? They were like, you know, they're like, ask me, you know, so the new CD's out. I'm like, yeah, you know, it's got a lot to do with my new life as a pirate, you know? And I would talk about pirates, and, like, this girl's like...
No, wait. Speaking of pirates, this is ridiculous. It's going to show, like, I'm not ditzy, but it was just a moment.
Okay.
It was when Pirates of the Caribbean were out. We went to go see Pirates of the Caribbean, and it said on there, no piracy, or, like, no pirates, or whatever the hell it said, but it had a picture of a pirate. I was like, dumb. I was like, they're, like, trying to go with the whole Pirates of the Caribbean.
So you couldn't pirate.
Like, yeah, but it was really, like, you can't, you know... piracy, and then Jeff explained it to me in my moment of feeling really stupid, but I'm like, damn, they're trying to get the whole characters of, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, no pirates allowed. Yeah, it was piracy. But anyways, go ahead.
And since I know that the people that do Pirates of the Caribbean are listening, because we have such a huge fan base here.
Yeah, JD, Johnny Depp, he's out there.
Yeah, he's going to be listening to this.
Big shout out.
There was an open call for pirates for that movie, right? I wanted to go in.
I didn't know that. I
was too flashy. Like, that was my problem. Like, I was... Because I looked to the conform to the standards. Yeah. I even called the number.
What did you have to be?
Dirtier than I am. Imagine this. You had to be dirtier looking. Yeah, look, everyone's like, dirtier than you. But yeah, and I tried to call, but I was not good enough to be an extra. But if you need a pirate that doesn't have fake dreadlocks, I have real dreads. Not like those... Those ones that are on... Yeah. No, I've got real crap hanging from my hair.
You can actually, like, order them. Like, you can order the dreads already dreaded, and you just connect them to your hair.
See, I'm not hearing that. That drives me nuts.
No, that's true.
That's a punk-ass really dreadlock method.
Yeah.
Punk-ass. Anyway, back to these Never Say Dies and the baby-stealing hurricane. In most radio shows, it would make sense, after you talk about a band, to immediately put the band
in. I'm
trying
to play
that,
Adam to play
but
it.
But I'm going
to
do that later, because I'm not going to do that
and
right now.
We are going to play it.
We're definitely going to play it. And we're also going to talk, when we come back, that was Arizona. We're going to move into Texas, which I learned a lot of cool things in Texas. Most importantly, that Texas was cool, and it was if Texas succeeded from the Union again... I wouldn't be surprised at all. Like, I would say, I can understand. Texas is indeed its own Lone Star Republic. So much, in fact, that every bottle of beer on the label has a reference to Texas on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Budweiser.
Their own, like, nation.
Oh, yeah.
Empire.
It was. And there was, like, there was nowhere that you didn't see, like, another, like, a Lone Star flag somewhere. Like,
maybe that's where Bush got his whole, like, I'm going to fucking run my own empire from Texas.
Don't mess with Texas.
Like, don't mess with, yeah.
They have those signs.
Texas, really?
Yeah, they're everywhere because it's littering signs. There's littering signs. There's no littering. Don't mess with Texas.
Is everybody Bush supporters?
No.
Get into that?
No. This is surprising. There were a couple progressive cities, one of them being Austin, which was my favorite place to play on the whole tour. And in Austin, there were so many people that walked around and be like, we didn't vote for that guy. We don't like him. You know, there was a lot of... Now, don't get me wrong. There's some like, Bush supporters like that would shoot your ass, you know, if you walked on their ranch and stuff. But in the cities, like, you know, in the university towns and stuff, it was as progressive as anywhere else.
Really?
Like, in Austin, I got to give a shout-out. Austin, Texas. Okay, I give my shout-out for these baby-stealing hurricane guys in Austin. Mm-hmm. Music's a very small community, and I'm learning this. Like, the people that you run into, like, are really weird. Like, I ran into twice now bands that I played with from on the East Coast, like, years ago, like, that I've seen in Pittsburgh, or, like, and we're on stage in Austin, Texas, at a place called Headhunters. And, like, this dude comes up at our show, he goes, hey, man, you know, I'm from this band called the Ritalin Kids. And I'm like, dude, I saw the Ritalin Kids a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I've seen their band a million times.
Aren't
they
like, they're like a band that they're, like, on K-Rock and shit?
Yeah.
The Ritalin Kids.
Yeah.
They're, like, some, like, cheesy.
Right, they're broke up. They're cool. They're cool guys.
Okay.
They're
cool
pop
guys.
Punky.
They're cool
pop punky. And they're cool. And, like, this dude's in the audience. And he's like, yeah, man. He's like, you know, he liked our music. And we hung out. We talked.
Yeah.
You know, it was really cool. But I was like, wow, music is a small world. You know, like. That there's this guy, and there was also the coolest punk band I've ever seen called, and I don't have their CD with me. They were called Born to Lose. They were great. They were like this really like like Dropkick Murphy style, like straight oi punk band. Yeah. And they were so fucking good. And I really enjoy their music. And we play with them. They gave us a million shouts out. You know, they did some really cool. They covered two great. They covered Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Oh.
Which I wish they'd have called me up to be a guest guitar player. Because they didn't think I could, you know, because they thought I was a singer. They didn't know. I was like, no,
they
I want to
know that you're like a kick-ass guitar player.
No, I'm not. Let's get that straight.
A riffy guitar player.
I could play Summer of 69 into the punk band. They also played the Ace of Spades from Motorhead, which about caused me to lose my bladder. And that show is great because Nikki, the whole show, our bass player Nikki, he's standing outside the venue, and somebody just randomly walks up the street and goes, the phone's ringing again.
Dude.
We're going to see if they hang up.
Kill and radio.
Here it goes. We'll kill radio.
This is Ariel with the Civil Disobedience Show.
Don't tell them they're on the air. You got to click that off.
Yeah, Matthew's calling.
Anyway.
Hassan?
It's Hassan. Hassan, yeah, he's from the... He says for me? Okay, hang on. I'm going to talk to Hassan because we have a phone call here. We're going to switch. We're going to cut to George Clinton in Parliament Funkadelic. We're going to kick some P-Funk right now. And then I'm going to answer this phone call. Thank you, and here's some P-Funk coming at you.
Tether him off. We're going to tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off. We're going to tether him off, the mother sucker. Tether him off, the sucker. Tether him off. We're going to tether him off, the mother sucker.
I'll be That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Wicked overseer, you hot shot, you wanna get pops and be a savior. First show a little respect, change your behavior, change your attitude, change your plan. There could never really be justice or stolen land. Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you wanna follow me. Your laws are minimal, cause you won't even think about looking at the real criminal. This has got to cease, cause we be getting hyped to the sound of the police.
I was a drug up, I was on that bad, I was out of my head. I was so wasted. I was wasted.
I don't know whether you've been following the Saddam Hussein of the United States, George Bush, but like Adolf Hitler, one of the first things he did to whip people up into a blind frenzy of ugly nationalism is make a real big stink about desecration of the national deity, excuse me, flag, in almost identical language to Hitler. Every day in school in America, I had to rise and pledge allegiance to the flag, even as the Vietnam War was going on across the street at the University of Colorado. And I was held over all afternoon in third grade to write over and over again, I will not laugh during flag pledge. I will not laugh during flag pledge. And I haven't forgotten either. I pledge defiance to the flag of the United Snakes of Captivity and to the Republic for which it stands. I dip it in kerosene and stick it up the ass of you know who and light it. One nation under God. Or else, one nation under psychopathic Pentagon gangsters whose idea of national security is concentration camps for people who dare to use the drugs that the CIA brings in and the government supplies themselves. One nation under Wall Street. If the cops and the government are all crooks, I might as well be one too. One nation of sedated tabloid robots who actually believe what they see on TV, even on MTV. And when asked what they think about it, they reply, I don't care. One nation drowning in its own garbage, indivisible from the fall of Rome, with liberty and justice for all who can't afford it. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Old Glory, the Yankee swastika. Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Whenever I see you, I see red. Whenever I see you, I see red. If the communist countries can do it, why can't we throw the bastards out and try some real democracy? Run not by rich people, not by military people, not by sons of senators, sons of senators, sons of senators, sons. Have you noticed how the more they give people back their freedom over there, the more they take it away over here? So now, before it's too late to even talk about stuff like this, be a patriot, a good patriot, the one that cares about their country more than forcing people to worship a flag and take the swastika. The Yankee swastika, and let it burn, 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 baby, burn.
Welcome, welcome back to the Civil Disobedience Project. We're not quite to the top of the hour here, so it's not quite Politrix time. But what you just heard was George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelic.
We want the funk.
Yes, and
get them off.
P-Funk is actually very political. Do you know this?
I do. Okay. I do believe that P-Funk is
very
political. In touch with what's really going on.
The whole reference to the mothership is really a metaphor, like for like the motherland and like you know, kind of like the Marcus Garvey kind of stuff. Yeah.
Afrocentric.
Okay, that's enough of that. Then KRS-One with the Sound of the Police. Then we had Wasted by the legendary Black Flag. Sean Ariel Maurer, Black Flag. Then we had
Branded.
Then we have Jello Biafra's, of course, eloquent Pledge of Allegiance. And the phone number here is 213-252-0998. I'm going to stop giving it because I keep getting phone calls every 2 seconds.
From the goddarn FBI. Yeah, no, and the last one was you.
Yeah, it was for me. And they don't call. They call when we're talking. They don't call when the music's on. Yeah. If you're going to call, wait till the music's on and call, and
yeah,
then we'll punch your call through.
Yeah, my mic was still on.
Yeah.
But that's just live answering calls. You know, that's
yeah,
how we do it.
Don't do that. So if you're listening by other means or on Critical Mass, if you're listening, if you want to get us when we're talking, shoot us on the instant messenger. Shoot us a Kill Radio Station, LA's most unruly radio. Civil Disobedience Project is always brought to you by your friends at Gorilla Underground Productions and now your friends at Axis of
Justice.
I've got my Axis Justice shirt on.
Justicia.
And we're going to tell you where you can see Axis of Justice this weekend and where you can see rock music this weekend. But you have to stay till the end of the show to hear that. So there.
We now, got free tickets. Stay tuned. No.
Yeah, free tickets.
Not
but,
really.
We're back to the one more story about we left Texas and I was talking about
Skittles. I'm sorry.
Skittles, nice.
I don't know why I smell Skittles.
We left Texas and we went on to New Orleans, and I had a close encounter in New Orleans, and the first guy I saw had no shirt on, bib overhauls, and one tooth, and he spoke this real thick Creole like French Southern dialect, and he asked me where I was from, and I'm looking at this gentleman. I'm like, wow, if you had to ask me what every stereotype I would think of somebody from Louisiana is, it's this guy with no shoes on in the Bib Overhaul. And he's looking at me. He's like, I'm out here, man. And he's talking. I don't know what the hell he's saying. He's like, where are you from? And I'm like, I'm from Los Angeles. And he looks me up and down. And as bizarre as I'm thinking that he looks, he's probably thinking, I'm living up to every stereotype that he probably thinks someone from Los Angeles looks like, too. And it was so funny. We had, like, this... We're both, like, looking at each other, like a close encounter.
Like a little Western theme in the back.
Yeah, I was like... I'm hearing, like, Deliverance music, and he's, like, thinking, like, crazy decadent L.A. guy, you know? And here's us, like, looking at each other back and forth, like, we're from different worlds. And it was really a funny conversation. But we didn't make any money at the show before that was in Dallas, Texas. Okay. Fat Daddies in Dallas, Texas. Nobody ever play there again. They don't play bands.
Oh.
Assholes.
They what do they do?
They screw you, and they make money off you, and they don't pay the bands. So, Martin is very law-abiding, as we were talking about from 286. And my philosophy is that if we did $75 or $100 worth of work, then I should leave with $100 worth of things from the venue.
Oh. Martin, no, Adam.
Martin's like... No. We, he's the law-abiding city. He's like, you can't do that. That's not right. I'm like, right. Go in the van.
Right.
We'll send the anarchist crew in. So that's Pete, Kenny.
And you.
And Nikki's like, I don't know what he was doing. But we went in and
he
we did.
At the bar with his shirt off.
Probably at the bar with his shirt off. You. We didn't take anything. That wasn't right. Kenny did pee on their floor, though.
You guys didn't take anything?
No. There wasn't anything to take.
I would have took something.
There wasn't anything there.
To be honest.
There wasn't anything there.
Nothing?
There was nothing worthwhile at all. So Kenny peed on there in the floor of the green room. So we're probably going to be labeled assholes. But tell you what, you guys are the assholes because you don't pay people. It's like slave labor.
What
how do you
they
show
do?
Up and work? No, good work.
How did they make money off you guys? And they didn't. Wait, what
they
happened?
They sold tickets at the door.
And you guys played.
Right.
But you didn't get any money back.
No.
You didn't know? Damn,
they said they didn't
sucks.
Make that much money off the show.
That's BS.
I'm like, do you suppose they're like, well, one band got paid, but usually they donate the money to the touring band, but they already took their money and left. I was like, and I told the lady, I'm like, you know, with all due respect, I was like, you guys are a bunch of money grubbing assholes. I hope you go out of business and
did you
have
at
a
least
nice day.
Get free drinks and food?
No. I got a cup of coffee, a Mountain Dew, and an orange. Thank you.
That's so sad.
Anyway, so we ended up in like New Orleans with no money because we, you know, and but Pete comes up with the idea. He's like, let's play poker and win it back. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great
Lord.
Idea.
Yeah.
We want it back.
Did you guys win it back times two? You guys
no,
just
we just
it
won it back.
Just won it back. Won it back. Not getting
won
greedy.
It back. No. And we would cash out and like take certain amounts of money and give it to Kenny. Kenny, don't let us spend this money. And he'd be like, all right. And he'd take the money and put it in his pocket. Then we'd win some more and we'd take 3/4 of that money, give it back to Kenny. It's Kenny. Keep this.
What are you guys doing? The nickel machines? You guys are playing poker.
Well, video poker, though.
Oh, I don't know how to play poker.
Yeah, so we're like card sharks.
Machines.
Quarter video poker, baby. And we want our money back. And the Dixie Tavern, which is a very cool place, played us. But I got into this great conversation. I told Errol, this is going to get her fired up, so I'm waiting to talk about it on the air. The Dixie Tavern was in a part of town on Canal Street. And it in the middle of, like, the hood.
Oh.
Right in the middle. Now, this is the greatest part about the hood in Louisiana, and in New Orleans particularly, where we were playing, was that there was nobody there that wasn't people of color in this particular part of the neighborhood. And in the middle of the park there, there's a giant Jefferson Davis statue. Okay? So I'm thinking, I'm like, man, this is like an Adolf Hitler statue, like in the middle of like a Jewish neighborhood. Yeah. And I'm like looking at it. It's nighttime. And I'm like looking. I'm like, that's a Jefferson Davis statue in the middle of like this park, you know? Mm. And I'm like, that's got to rub some people the wrong way, you know? And I was like, man, I'm surprised nobody's like defaced it, you know, or anything. Yeah. And actually, when I went back in the light, there was stuff all over it. Like people, I think like people just walk by and like throw stuff at it.
Everybody
like,
should just come together and tear it down.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
What are they gonna do?
You know, it was.
What are they gonna do?
It was one of those things like that should have been. I have differing opinions on this. It was a very old statue, and it was kind of cool as a historical marker.
Yeah.
But I think something needed to be written by it. Like the reason that maybe that's being preserved is for its historic value, and not for, you know, not representing an ideology.
I think it should be torn down.
See, I'm a historical person, so
yeah,
I mean, historical
I believe
places
in restoration
and
all that stuff. But I mean, some things that's like I'm sure they probably sell some of Hitler's memorabilia for a bunch of money because it's memorabilia. But at the same time, it's like, you know,
I have a whole collection.
It should be burned.
I have a whole collection of Nazi coins.
You probably do.
You know how I got them though? Seriously, it's an interesting story. My grandmother's brothers were in World War II, and they took money off of dead Nazis. They would take the money and bring them back. Like, they would pick pockets and stuff. And, like, so they're like family heirlooms, so that's why I have Nazi money.
And plus, they took it from the Nazis.
Yeah, it's. I don't really feel bad because
you
it came off
like,
dead Nazis.
Donate it to, like, a Jewish museum and say, we got something back.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting, and I never even thought of that. But my grandmother gave them to me because I was always interested in that kind of stuff. But they came from dead Nazis, so I guess that's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, take them off dead Nazis. That's funny.
Yeah, I know.
But I think it would be funny to keep the Jefferson Davis statue and, like, maybe put a mouth. Malcolm X one, like, across it or something.
Yeah,
like, that
or,
would
like,
be funny.
Or put, like, some pink underwear on it.
Yeah, something. But, I mean, like, I don't know. But
a bra?
But, anyway, the interesting thing about this, and this is a great conversation. I'm at the bar, and I'm listening. I'm overhearing conversation. There's two FIFA. One was, they were both sitting at the bar, and it was a girl and a guy.
Yeah.
And the girl proclaims, all darkies aren't bad. And I'm like, what is a... What is a... And I'm like, okay, I got to move closer. So I'm in it. And I already was talking to these people, so they knew me already. And they're like, yeah, they ain't all bad. And the guy goes, you think? And the lady's like, no, they're not. They're okay. Some are okay. And the guy's like, I don't know about that. And then, like, I'm listening to this conversation and wonder... It was blatantly racist conversation, but at the same time, it was like two...
They're being nice racist.
It was
like
two little kids
racist.
That just found something on the side of the road that, like, they didn't know what to do with. It's like, look, all them dogs don't bite. You know? It was like kind of like this really back-ass words conversation. And the girl goes, some of them darkies is good looking. I would hook up with some of them. And the guy goes, like, you'd hook up with a darkie? And she goes, you're damn right. Some of them look good. And she's like, there's this Lenny Kravitz looking darkie. She was explaining about it. And, like, the guy's like, I don't know, man. And she's like, well, he's pretty good looking. And they have this really in-depth conversation back and forth. Never dawned on them that this could be offensive to somebody.
Yeah.
Never dawned on them that it was even a bad conversation. It was the most... And I'm usually torn. Do you get mad? But no, I usually let the conversation progress because I'm fascinated by this conversation.
By such ignorance.
And it was very bizarre conversation. So I heard this whole thing. Then I have to egg the conversation on.
Yeah.
I was like... You know, what would your dad think if you picked one of those darkies up? I asked her, and she's like, oh, it would be a big deal in our family. You know, like, they have this whole, it was like, they didn't even know that I was, like, making fun, you know, of the whole conversation. I'm like, it was just an interesting time.
Yeah,
you know?
See, that's...
It's fascinating, though. It really is, you know?
But that's, like, the conversations that they normally have. That's the way they're found. And that's the way most families are. Like I was telling Adam previously, you can have a conversation with somebody, especially in the non-activist world, which is, like, it's not fun to go out of because you just get, like, really freaked out. You're just like, fuck, this is the way the world is. But it is, because people have this conversation, especially if you're a minority. They're talking to you, like, I used to work at a salon, right? And this was a conversation that I overheard. Most people there were, like, Hispanic. And this is the thing, the owner, she was Italian, but she forgets that she's Italian. You know what I mean? I don't know. She thinks she's... I don't know. She's Republican, okay? Anyways. And then she had this client. She's talking to her. She's like, yeah. She's like, you know, when they mow my lawn, I feed them. She's like, I'll have leftover this, and I'm giving them my leftovers. And they're thinking that they're talking polite, but to me that's very biased because I'm like just like you said, like, oh, you know, all, some of the dogs, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Feed my dog.
They're like, yeah, like, oh, I give them leftovers as if they need leftovers. Like, you know, don't you think that they can supply their own stuff? They don't need this food from you.
I keep them in a cage.
But these people, they're not even realizing how, like, offensive their conversations are because this is the way they talk.